You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning, happy Sunday. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week, we introduce you to all of the leading business experts all across Oxfordshire, large and small, and introduce you, the listener, to great business insight from our experts. And this week is going to be no different. We're going to be talking about the world of accountancy and business advisory. And to do that, I'm joined by three experts from Critchley's, who are a leading accountancy and advisory firm here in Oxford. We are joined by Mark Taylor, who is the payroll services director. We are joined by Vali Kaluri, who is a senior HR consultant, and Jennifer Sewell, who is a partner here at Critchley's. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our experts after this. Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. So in case you missed it, today we're joined by three experts from Critchley's, a firm of accountants here in Oxford. So let's start by introducing them to you. Let's start with Mark, please. Mark, please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mark Taylor and I'm the payroll director here at Critchley's. So my main job is to help and support small and medium local businesses with their payroll compliance, which includes pension compliance, auto-enrolment, etc. And also any kind of consultation work they require, which may be outside the scope of normal payroll processing.
Amazing. Thanks so much. And up next, over to Jen.
Hello. I am a partner here at Critchley's. I've been with Critchley's for 6 years. My main role, I suppose, is a portfolio manager looking after lots of local businesses here in Oxfordshire. I am their general advisor, so I try to look after and advise all around accounts, tax, personal tax planning, business growth. And I ask a lot of questions. The more we know, the more we can help. And our aim is to really get to know our clients, get to really understand their business and their world, and try to put as many have as many helpful conversations and ensure they're being advised correctly for any plans they've got in the future.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And last but not least, Vali.
Hi, I'm Vali Kaluri. I lead the HR function at the Critchley's. We support our clients to develop and implement robust HR functions that help them to attract, retain, maintain, and nurture the greatest asset, the people. So we also support them by being compliant with the UK employment law by providing them up-to-date employment law and thorough advice. So as doctors, you said, sometimes the questions are complicated, but the answers are very simple if that comes from the experts. So here we are to help our clients with that.
Amazing. Perfect. So the three of you are absolute experts in the world of finance. So I'm going to try an area where you might not be experts. I don't know. Maybe I'm upsetting people now. Which is your song choice? So who's got the short straw? Vali, I'm going to stay with you. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So I was listening to my son's playlist in the morning when I was commuting to work today. So one of the songs that caught my attention is Lovely by Billie Eilish. I really loved it. That's my song choice for the day.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back. This is Get Radio and this is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. And today I'm really, really delighted to be joined by Mark, Vali and Jen, all of Critchley's, who over the next hour are going to be really sharing expertise around the world of accountancy. So Jen, I'm just going to come to you first, if that's OK. What's the hot topics in the world of accountancy right now?
Oh, it's an interesting question. Cash flow, financing. It's always a hot topic, especially the last couple of years, because there's been events outside of business owners' control, and they have had to be contingent plans. Business owners have had to pivot. You've had to flex what decisions you're making that you weren't necessarily planning for. And cash flow is always that core part of business which allows you to develop your plans, grow your business, invest in your people, invest in your IT structure, or have contingent in place and ready to flex to and react to the situations that are coming into play. It's a challenging environment for the SME market around cash flow. So it is about good planning. It's about having good data, which feeds into so many different things around, you know, current technology, around management information. It's just ensuring they've got good advice, forecasting, they're having good conversations, and they're talking to their advisors about what their plans are. So these kind of fundamentals can be put into place, and any additional thought processes can be thought about ahead of time rather than in moment. In reality, we all know in moment conversations the planning has to happen, and we're kind of used to that too, but it is about ensuring the really good foundations are in place to ensure that businesses are flexible when they need to be.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that impacts cash flow is staff salaries or wages or the technical term is payroll, isn't it, Mark? So what's the big thing under the umbrella of payroll right now? And I guess an extension to that question is a lot of businesses do payroll themselves in inverted commas. And why should you get a professional to do your payroll?
So this is actually what I was going to say, Ben, is we're finding a lot of clients now running their payrolls in-house, but the knowledge they need to actually run them correctly and against HMRC legislation is always changing, and it's very costly. And in-house, they have to think about paying a salary for someone to run payroll, cover if someone's sick, and the best thing for them to do is to look at an outsourced provider who is able to provide those professional services and at a very reasonable rate of pay as well. And we're also seeing a lot of clients are leaving the big payroll bureaus because of accuracy issues, because of customer service. Customer service is quite bad, I'm getting from other big payroll bureaus. I think that it's coming down to the bottom dollar for businesses, and also for them to free up and for them to focus on their core business, which is not payroll.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think a big thing that I see in the world of business is I think that we all go into business because we love accountancy or recruitment or whatever, but actually as a small business leader, you need to wear so many hats, don't you? And often it's good to wear the hats that you're an expert within.
And also we know the pitfalls of payroll, and we know what to watch out for small clients, so I really love making sure they're doing things correctly and guiding them for the payroll journey.
Jen, just bringing the conversation across yourself, without, of course, giving any sort of specifics on certain clients, are there certain trends that you see in the businesses that are doing well from a leadership point of view, whether that be around how they keep their details in terms of how they invest, in terms of the values that they have within their business? Like what are the good traits that you see within, a small business owner in Oxfordshire?
And it's quite a diverse answer. We're very, very lucky. We work with such a broad business owners, and that's why I love my job. I think having a very clear vision as to what you want to achieve, and knowing that not everything can be achieved day one. And so having that business plan in place, which allows you then to put in place certain goals, expectations that you're staff can then buy into, making sure you're very clear on what your company ethics are, your branding, what your business kind of voice is, and allowing the staff to buy into that, but being very clear on what the expectations are of the business and of them, and so they can buy into it. Passion, I think some of the most successful business we work with are the most passionate business owners. All sorts of wonderful, weird and wonderful personalities that come out of that. But I think if business owners, whether individuals or partnerships, or a board of directors, have that passion for what they're doing, that breeds itself through every staff member that then gets involved. I think where businesses start to struggle sometimes is where the passion gets lost, or their eyes taken off the ball, or it's the same things repeated each time. So I think making sure you are passionate about what you do does really put you in good stead for really exciting plans, hopefully prosperous plans that come forward.
No, absolutely. No, really good. Really good. And Mark, just in terms of the world of payroll, and I'm going to bring it back to your area of expertise. A big thing that I think is topical at the moment is around this gap between dividends and salary and PAYE and really kind of how to put together sort of a remuneration package. What are you seeing? And maybe something that just sort of Jen and Vali might want to comment on as well.
That's a good question. Lots of employers are really looking to offer benefit packages to attract the main, you know, the top talent around. And that can vary from private health insurance to increased pension contributions, to cash plans that they offer, to enhanced holiday. They're really trying to look around and attract the main, and also performance-related bonuses, etc. We're seeing a lot of employers start to really push out the benefit packages to attract the top talent tiers to their businesses, really.
It's an interesting regime, Ben, because each financial act that comes in, they're tweaking the rates and the thresholds. Yeah. And so historically, for a business owner, very much low salary, high dividend, maybe put some company benefits through. Predominantly, that's still the most efficient regime for a business owner or business owners to be on. We're very conscientious to look at the family tax planning position, and there's lots of different things we can put into place. But again, that's why we have to ask questions of our business owners. What are their plans? What are their aims? Not just looking at the business itself, but the wider family position or potentially connected person's position. And so as much as there's kind of a headline position, which most businesses will fall into, depending on individual circumstances, depending on individual family circumstances, it's not always the typical model that fits. And as each finance act comes in, as thresholds and percentages are tweaked, we're always looking to review what is the best position to maximize. Business owners work very hard for the cash that they generate. So how can we make sure that they're benefiting from it in the best possible way?
Absolutely. You make a really good point there, Jen, because I think that as a business owner myself, I think, of course, it's about how can you get as much cash into your bank from what you earn as possible. But actually, it might be quite a good point to come across to you, Vali, because I think that what I'm seeing with a lot of employers is that actually, there isn't a one size fits all for staff members, and some staff members may be really excited about private health cover. Some staff members may want flexible working. That might be the most important thing to them, or be able to pick up their children from school or whatever else. And then some, actually, it might be about they're getting to the point where retirement's quite big. So what I guess from a benefits point of view, Vali, what are you seeing in terms of employers doing to, I guess, be a little bit more flexible with benefits?
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. Employers, I would say, as you said, it's not one size fits all. Different employees are motivated with different benefits. Like, for example, if it's a working mother, the employee might be quite excited about the flexible working arrangements where she can finish the work by 3 o'clock, go pick the child, or somebody who is driven by monetary value, are really driven by the salaries, somebody who is interested about the career progression. You can plan accordingly the career progression for them. Learning and development is very important for anyone. You need to know where you're going. So if an organization can provide the direction, can provide you career progression, it is also a very great, good attraction point for the employees as well. So yes, that's a very good way of looking at the whole talent pool out there.
Amazing. No, really good advice. Mark, I think it's your turn for a short straw, unfortunately, with the song choice. So time for a break. What is your song choice, Mark, and why have you picked it?
It's Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. I always used to listen to this song when I, you know, when I felt down or out of place, and it really makes me feel, you know, happy. So yeah, I love this song.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I'm really, really grateful to be joined today by Jen, Mark and Valley, all of Critchley's, a wonderful accountancy firm here in Oxford. And actually, I think that's a good time to talk about Critchley's and really kind of talk about you as a business as opposed to necessarily how do you work with your clients. It has been widely reported that it's difficult to recruit in the world of accountancy. It's very competitive. But I know that Critchley's have got a great reputation. You do a lot with local sports clubs. You do lots in the community. So whoever's got the short straw, like what is it like to work at Critchley's? And why is it so great to be part of Critchley's?
So, well, I can go first. I've been at Critchley's since June 2015, so it was about 8.5 years, I believe. And Critchley's is an amazing place for you to really like nurture your talent and advance through the ranks. So I started as a payroll administrator, and I'm now a payroll director. And I've gone from payroll senior to manager to director. And it's a real supportive environment, and it's a real place for people to listen to you and take your ideas seriously, and for them to nurture you and give you the best that an employer can offer. I really, really, yeah, I love working here.
Amazing, amazing. Anything to add, Jen Valley? I'm putting you on the spot, sorry.
I'm not sure if it's fair to ask the partner. People may know my journey, they may not, but I joined Critchley's 6 years ago as a senior manager of a previous firm. It's my third firm. I've been very fortunate in my career to work at three fantastic firms. Critchley's, for me, I wanted to take the next step in my career. Critchley's is a large enough firm that allowed me that partnership route. When I interviewed with Critchley's for a senior role here, the way they want to serve clients and work with clients, the ethics they have around that very much aligned with how I had been taught and how I had grown up within the accountancy world of how I wanted to work with clients, service clients. I wanted to be part of a firm that was looking to grow, but for the right reasons. Because it is still independent, it's manager owned, being able to look into the eyes of the, you know, the people that are running the firm, to be able to have a voice. We have a staff voice mechanism where the staff are allowed to share their ideas and inputs, which has already seen results and different changes that are impacting us day to day with how we run the firm. That means a lot, you know, and if you're putting all your effort into your career, you also want to be putting it into something that does mean it is part of a bigger picture. And so far, you know, I'm still here 6 years later. I became partner 2.5 years ago. I'm very much wanting to, all the good things I've learned, all the mentoring I've had, want to make sure we're putting that into the future of our business as well.
Absolutely. And Valley, I know that you've joined more recently. What have been your experiences?
I will give a longer answer to a shorter question. My career progression is completely non-linear. I did my engineering. I worked as an engineer, and then I worked as a teacher, and then I moved into business myself when I was 24, I think. So there is an entrepreneur in me. There's a business bone that is there. So after that, when I moved to UK, I worked in in-house HR roles mostly. And then when I decided I wanted to do something more challenging, and when I came across Critchley's, and during the interview, as Jen mentioned, when I met the team, I can see that I found that it would be a very collaborative team. So hence I joined, and the promises that were made in the interview were really, really looked after. There's a lot of autonomy. The team is amazingly collaborative. They support your growth. So far, I'm very happy to be here. So yes, that's my answer. Thank you.
Amazing. And just going back to one of the things I think when planning the show that we plan to talk about is careers in accountancy. So I think you've shared your stories. If you were to go back to the education lever versions of yourself and kind of give advice, or if you were to flip that and somebody's listening right now and thinking, do you know what, I potentially might like to become an accountant or have a career within the sector, what would be your advice?
My advice is to do it, because I just think it opens so many doors for future careers. So I think accountancy is a wonderful career anyway. And we obviously, anyone who's starting accountancy, we would love them to stay in practice and get to grow with the firms they're in, grow with the clients they're working with. But it gives you so many different skill sets that I think it's very interesting. You can, it ticks a lot of different boxes for different personality sets. But I think it just gives you a lot of tools and skills, depending then how you want your career to develop in the future. There's a lot of transferable skills on that. And so I think whether it's staying in practice, going in industry, or going into different roles that may have finance attached to it, I just think it's a really, if any parent or any teenager or young adult is lost what to do, I would always push them down an accountancy route, selfishly, because I love people coming into this career. But also, I think it really does open doors. I think it is a really good career to have.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, really, really good advice. Really good advice. And what about the future planning? So I think that we've spoken quite a lot about Critchley's. We've spoken a lot about all of your different kind of roles within the sector. And let's talk about kind of exit. So whether that be from an accountancy point of view, or whether that be when you're doing your payroll, Mark, in terms of enhanced pension contributions. What are you seeing with staff members and business owners right now in terms of planning for the future? Because I think it's widely reported that the average person retiring won't have enough pension, isn't it? So yeah, what are you seeing with kind of that exit piece?
Well, that's a tough question. From an employee perspective or employer perspective?
Either.
Well, I'm seeing obviously a lot more employees are demanding the highest salaries, I think, and they're benchmarking a lot more against what the national average is. But there's a lot more increase in pension contributions to obviously plan for the future for when they retire. We're seeing a lot more bonus schemes coming into place that are performance related. We're seeing a lot, as I said before, a lot more benefits coming in, really, which can give employees an enriched role within the company. So basically just a lot more increase in their salaries and pension and bonuses we're seeing coming through.
And Jen, what would be your advice to kind of business owners in terms of that kind of exit strategy and the things that you can kind of do now that's going to help you towards that point where you either retire or you change career?
You might have heard me say this before, Ben, but quite often what I take on a client is, what's the initial aim? What's the end aim? Well, you're going to start a business, but how do you want to exit a business? And a lot of business owners are either starting businesses and haven't thought about that. I've been in business for many years and still don't know what that aim is. And to kind of repeating what we said previously, if no one's asked you that question, you need to ask that question to yourself. Because exit it can either drive goals, it can drive business plans, but also if you don't know, what are you working for? What are you really trying to achieve? Are you building something up that you want to sell? Are you building something up that you want to pass down? That's where, a lot of our family tax planning comes into play as well. There's a lot of business tax planning pieces that we can be putting into place. Are we looking at building up a management team beneath you that then takes over the business, and what tax incentives and what schemes can we be putting in place coinciding with staff retention and those benefits that can also be put into place? And I think it's very easy to get caught up in the moment, but it is very important to think about what's next, or how do you want to leave? What legacy do you want to leave? What pot of cash do you need for whatever lifestyle you want to go into? And that's why it's always important for us to work with clients' IFAs and their financial planners, is to making sure anything that needs a 5-10 year plan, we're involved, 20-year plan, we're involved from the beginning, to making sure we're doing everything we can now to benefit that piece of the future.
No, absolutely. No, really, really interesting. So one of the things that absolutely astounded me is my friendship group. We're all in our early 30s, and half of them don't have a pension. And actually, probably of that half, I would say that more than half of that half, good maths there, actually have opted out of their work pension because they want the money now. So Mark, I think you're old dear. I absolutely agree with. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Can you just sort of explain in sort of layman's terms why you should be paying into your work pension?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, when you retire, you're only being entitled to a basic state pension. And I think Rishi Sunak said they're thinking about increasing the age to 75 or something in the future. So the young people at the moment are going to really suffer in the future if they don't think about their investments for retirement. And also, you're missing out on the money from your employer. So when you opt out of your pension, you're missing out of that additional pension contribution from them. And it also matters on the tax base that it's set up under, because if it's under salary sacrifice, you'll also lower your tax than what it will pay if it's going through under a pension scheme. So you really need to start thinking early to invest in your pension, because you might be working for a long, long time before you can retire.
No, absolutely. And I think that tax piece is really, really key, because I think whether you're a business owner or whether you're an employee, actually, you're not paying tax on that pension contribution. So for every pound that's going in, you're making so much more than that, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And also, some employers offer enhanced contributions, so that match up to a certain level. If you put in, they'll put in. And you're just losing the money. If you're not in the pension scheme, that money is just not going into your... Yeah, it's going nowhere. So you are losing out. So auto-enroll, opt back in.
No, definitely, definitely. And Vali, I know that we've spoken quite a lot about drivers for candidates. So just continuing with this pension piece, how often is pension coming up when you're speaking to candidates or speaking to employers? How often is pension the really attractive benefit, or are other things ahead of that?
Yeah, the pension is quite an attractive contribution for the senior management roles, rather than, as you said, the junior roles. They're not really focused on what kind of pension they get. But when you are hiring a senior management role or a senior employee, the pension contributions is a big say in it, I would say.
No, absolutely. It's really, really fascinating, isn't it? It's really, really, really fascinating piece. And I do wonder whether as employers and business leaders, we can do more to educate, because actually for every year early you start, there is definitely a benefit piece there.
Unless you are able to invest yourself in ISAs, it's better to invest in pension rather than, you know, not having that contribution in your life.
No, without a doubt. So, Jenna, I think it's time for you to have the final short straw, which is a song choice. So, of your many choices, it was a good question for you, wasn't it, Jen? What song choice did you decide to go for?
I think it's really exciting, because I always attach song to memories. I've got so many wonderful memories, and the song will trigger it. For this, I've chosen the Rembrandts, I'll Be There For You. Sadly, obviously, Friends cast members passed away, and just thinking back to that song and the different situations and memories I have attached with my friends, different scenarios. I just love that song, and I think it's always go happy, go lucky.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today, I'm really delighted to be joined by Jen, Mark and Vali, all of Critchley's. And we're sharing all expertise around the world of finance. We've spoken quite a lot about benefits, around recruitment. We've spoken about the world of accountancy and payroll as well. So I think this would be a good time to come back to you, Jen, and really kind of talk about... I guess tax, if that's okay, the important subject. Corporation tax has increased, hasn't it? And actually, I think that there's a lot of pressures on a lot of businesses. What can businesses do to, I guess, prepare for more taxes, for bigger corporation tax, and really for what could be challenging times? I think it's widely reported that there could be a recession, or there are going to be some challenging years. What things can business owners do now to prepare for that?
I think it's I'm going to repeat myself, it's about having good information. Good information helps you make good decisions. And so what you want to be doing with tax bills and liabilities is not knowing about them the day they're due, and then having to figure out the cash flow and the financing of them. is knowing as early as you can, have good management accounts, have good drafted tax positions, so you can start to plan for those liabilities. The sooner you're planning, it gives you more option then to mitigate. So to circle back to things such as pensions, company pension contributions are only tax deductible when they're paid. So there's no point thinking about, oh, I should have put a pension contribution in to help reduce my tax 6 months after the year end, because it won't reduce that liability that's coming in 3 months' time. So having good information, making sure you are comfortable with the way your numbers are, talking to your advisors about your remuneration planning and your tax planning. So what costs are being incurred that are beneficial? What are you looking at your actuals versus budgets, if you've got budgets and, you know, forecasts in place, and just really being in tune with the current status of affairs, because the more information you have, the better you can make those decisions as to whether the effective use of cash and cost incurred, or that actually whether some time delay might help mitigate circumstances. Obviously, with tax planning, especially in certain industries, when you buy your plant and machinery, can be quite, whether you buy it in April or March, it sometimes can have a bit of a tax swing. So it's also talking to your advisors about what your plans are, especially for larger cash investments. And if there's a more prominent time to do that, which will generate the better tax savings. So definitely in moment, having productive, effective conversations with your advisors and making sure you are planning forward.
Absolutely. And just on this topic of cash flow, I've heard quite a few stories in terms of networking and running this show of payroll not being able to be paid, or X invoice not being able to paid. What should you do when you are struggling? And maybe a question for all of you. Like, if you do feel that you're getting to the point where you're not going to be able to pay staff salaries, or you're not going to be able to pay for X, what should you do in that scenario? What would be your advice?
It's a really horrible situation to be in, because most employers, they know their staff, you know, they know their staff families, and not paying their salaries is not paying the staff mortgages. So it's a very difficult position to be in. The longer it's left, the harder it is to help mitigate. And often you can fall into getting some very short-term cash at very high rates that then turns into a cycle of constant cash flow management at high cost. And so that's why forecasting as much as you can, or having a sense of 3 to 6 months cash flow to ensure that your base costs, such as salary, rents, rates, whatever it may be, are covered, making sure you don't put yourself in that situation. I think it can be, sometimes you want to bury your head in the sand and think, oh, something will come in, you know, in 2 weeks' time, we might not be here. But that's, as a manager of the business, you have to, that's one of your roles, is to take those hard decisions and making sure you are mitigating those circumstances.
And maybe a question for you, Mark, in terms of the payroll piece. I think often as a recruiter, when I, particularly with smaller businesses, when they're looking at hiring, they ask me the question, how many months' salary should I have in reserve to cover this, or what is the true hidden cost behind payroll? And of course they should talk to you, is the perfect answer. But yeah, can you just sort of build on what is covered in a payroll or what are the costs associated?
Yeah, so obviously employers have to pay employees their salary, which obviously includes their gross salary, recruit tax and national insurance. They also have to factor in their employer national insurance, which will be on top of that. And then any other costs such as pension contributions, as we said, obviously what kind of employer contribution they're going to be giving to the business. But that's something we help clients out with, payroll forecasting. We can give them an idea, general idea of the cost that would be involved for taking on a certain amount of employees. So it's basically just those are the main costs. And obviously the cost of benefits that you're going to offer your employees, And if you're going to pay for those benefits, or if you're going to charge them back to your employees on PMD, etc. So, yeah, you've really got to factor in the cost of benefits as well as the cost of salaries.
Interesting. So we actually had the show sponsor on a few weeks back, Sarah, and it was really interesting what she was saying about the cost of benefits. Is that actually you may feel that private health cover is great, but actually on low income salaries, that is actually costing your staff money. So without touching sort of too much on Sarah's advice, what would be your advice around when creating kind of that benefits pack? I feel like we keep coming back to benefits. Apologies.
I think you have to analyze your workforce and see, you know, what kind of benefits are beneficial to them and have a breakdown of your workforce. Because certain benefits like salary sacrifice wouldn't benefit somebody if they don't pay tax or national insurance. So you really have to analyse your workforce first to see what kind of benefits are going to obviously benefit the majority of the people working for you. Because it may not be that, you know, you might seclude certain groups of people, like people who are on benefits from HMRC, etc. They may be affected at certain benefits. So yeah, but I think really have a look at your workforce, work with a benefit, because you can work with an outside benefit consultation service as well to see what is the best for your business.
It's also making employers aware that they can take on the cost sometimes with those benefits. Yeah. So at Critchley's, we did a staff voice about what benefits package we wanted to put in place, and we've taken on private healthcare, but we wanted to make sure it was a real benefit to our staff. So we then also pay the tax on the employee's benefit side. So the employee is completely free. But a lot of employers don't know that they can do that. So it's making sure we're having those conversations and educating those employers on what actually the options are about putting those packages in place. And the different variations that, you know, they can do that extra bit if, should they want to.
Amazing. It's really interesting, actually, Jen. So one of the things that Rich at Get Radio and I always joke about is that you should bring your notepad. And that's something I absolutely didn't know. So let's just build on that, if that's okay. Can you do that with all benefits? So, for example, if you were to give somebody a company car, could you take on the cost of that as an employer? Like, what can you take the cost of?
It's not for all benefits. And okay. So there is a certain regime with HMRC you have to review and apply for. So it's not automatic. You have to apply for it.
I see.
And then the employer pays that extra bit of tax on that benefit each year. So, I don't put out false information that it's completely for every benefit out there. But that's why I think if you're, as an employer, looking at your benefits package, making sure you are talking to your advisors to ensure that they are giving you the best possible advice about, like I say, the options that are available for your employees, but also as an employer, should you want to maximize those benefits to your employee, because, you know, your workforce is younger, or, you know, or having the option to give bonus, but it could be a pension rather than cash. But, you know, it's making sure you really understand who your workforce are and then putting those benefits into place, which benefits them. But I think a lot of employers, they know what they know, and so, you know, packages are put into place based on the experiences they might have had when they were, you know, working as an employee, but making sure you get that full information to make sure you can create a package that is suitable to your business and your staff base.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things that we like to do on this show is to share top tips with the listeners. I feel like the three of you have been doing that for the last hour. So apologies. But one of the things we like to do is to almost have a takeaway tip, whether it be something that we've already spoken about or whether it be something new. So what would be your takeaway tip for the Oxfordshire business owner? And let's start with Mark.
I suppose from a payroll perspective is really analyse and look at how much payroll is costing you if you're doing it in-house or outsourcing it, and shop around. See what other deals are out there, obviously, and what other services are out there. Because a lot of employees, they don't want to deal with the hassle of payroll and pension administration because it is getting very technical and it's driven by legislation heavily. And so the cost of outsourcing that could really benefit you as a business to to focus on your core product, which, yeah, as I said before, is not payroll. So my top tip, yeah, would be to really have a look at what that's costing you if you're doing it in-house or another provider that you're not happy with the service.
Amazing. Vali, what would be your top tip?
I really like the saying, know your why and the how becomes easier. So building on that, I would like to say, find the right people that aligns with your business why, and how your business success becomes much easier. So that would be my top tip.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, Jen, what's your top tip?
It might be quite basic, but I think it's just good to talk. And I think, especially if you're an individual business, you know, an owner-managed business owner, and you don't have partners or a board of directors to help support you, make sure you are talking to your advisors, make sure you're talking to your peer group within your network, because it's very cathartic and it's very therapeutic to be able to talk through your business, not problems necessarily, but, you know, situations that are happening, challenges you're facing, because I think business owners need to be resilient. And they, like you said earlier, they wear so many different hats, and you can't be great at everything. So it is just making sure you get the advice you need at the right times. But it's good to talk, and so sometimes by getting your ideas out and sharing them adds a bit of clarity to them and helps you think, actually, what have we got to do next and in what order.
Well, that is the end of the show, but thank you so much to the three of you for joining us on the Business Brunch on Get Radio today. If you are just tuning in, I definitely recommend listening back, as we've had Mark Taylor, Vali Kaluri, and Jen Sewell, all of Critchley's, who are a leading accountancy and advisory firm here in Oxford. Next week, I am going to be back with a brand new guest. So I'm joined by Jesse Harrison of Matthews and Square, who is going to be talking about intellectual property for AI. Finally, just a reminder that you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. It's also available on a podcast format, which is available via all your favorite podcast platforms and released on a Monday morning. And do look out for the video format if you want to see what we all look like, which is posted to the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I will see you next week.